riuscivamo a mettere più giovani.
To the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in Gokula, stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately caught, to that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick. And his mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright and his pearl necklace shook. To this Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, who is bound with his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I'm drowning in an ocean of sorrow and I'm almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me. uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision. O Lord Damodara, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva, and Nala Kuvera, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound by your rope, by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my respectful obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes. Shri Damodarashtakam ki jai. Can you take this harmonium off here? Careful. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nice to be back here at the home of Radha Ladanishwara. And in the time that we have, I would just like to speak a little about sort of the purpose of what you've seen advertised, or that book outside, this book which we worked on over the last, now it's 6 years, called Navaraja Mahima. Literally translated, that means the glories of New Raja Dham, some pictures of which you've seen, and then Radha Shamasundar. The purpose of the book is not something to distract devotees from their own either places of worship or Ishtadev, but it was meant to give an example of how we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas can become aware of the presence of Vrindavan at our place of worship, at our own home, and ultimately within our hearts. Unless Narottam Das Thakur says that Bishaya Charya Shuddha Habimana, that ultimately one's heart is meant to become transformed into Vrindavan. When our hearts become transformed in Vrindavan, then we can see that our homes are also Vrindavan, and we can see that this place here, miraculously enough, by the omnipotence of Radha Landanishvara, and by the desire of Srila Prabhupada, this is also Vrindavan. Now, when does everyone agree that this place is Vrindavan?
Yes!
Where's Govardhan Hill?
It's on the altar.
Where? On the altar? Okay, he says on the altar. Where's the River Jamuna? Actually, Rupa Goswami says that the River Jamuna flows through every river in the world, every ocean in the world, and every river. So, I guess you could say that Jamuna is in the country. I prefer to see a little closer by. No, everything is present within a certain geographical, within a certain boundary limit to which Radha Landanishvara is extending their influence. They're the Ishvara, or the controllers of London, but at the same time they manifest their influence not over specifically a measurable distance, but a distance that's determined by the worshipper's consciousness. And so, whether it's in this in this room is Govardhan Hill and the 12 forests of Vrindavan and all the sub-forests and Jamuna, and included with that all the places of Krishna's pastimes. Radhala and Nishwara are not just standing on an altar. But while they're also standing on an altar, they're also enacting pastimes. What pastimes do they enact? Those same pastimes that go on in the spiritual world. And those same pastimes that Krishna came 5,000 years ago to display in this world to attract us back, home back to Godhead. However, as he says, Bishaya Charya Shuddha Habiman. Shuddha Habiman. Our business is to purify our minds or our consciousness. And that's why we're here in Krishna consciousness, to purify our minds and consciousness. But simultaneously, although perhaps the concept of Vrindavan being fully manifest in different ways before us is also somewhat separated for us by time, it's something that one needs to be aware of. There are two things. One is called sadhana and the other one is called sadhya. Sadhana is the practice of devotional service and sadhya is the goal. Practice becomes more or less ineffective if you don't know where you're going. It's a practical thing. You get in your car, unless you've got an idea where you want to go, you're just going to be driving around in circles. So there has to be a purpose to where we are going. And Srila Prabhupada had written his commentaries, translated Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, to give us an idea as to where we're meant to go. And simultaneously, Srila Prabhupada also asked his followers, but that doesn't mean his disciples, that means anyone who's following Srila Prabhupada, to also write books. To write books, to write articles, to write so many things, songs in glorification of the process of devotional service, the goal of devotional service, because both are unlimited. And individual devotees have their own perspectives of that. And one thing is to know of what our goal is, which is very good. But by knowing what our goal is in Krishna consciousness, we become empowered, we become encouraged to practice, because as we all experience that, practicing is not an easy thing. Or rather, nothing is easy for us. Even the easiest thing is difficult. Katanchana smite yasmin sukkaram dukkaram bhavet. So Kaviraj Goswami says the most difficult thing becomes easy when you remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the easiest thing becomes impossible when you forget him. So in Kali Yuga, that's what it means that we're manda, that we're unfortunate, is that unfortunately, very, very easy things become very difficult for us. Being a human being is difficult for us. What to speak of being a devotee. I'm reflecting once when we had one initiation ceremony, and this was one of the initiates was a elder Indian lady, and she had difficulty in explaining the regulative principles. Not because she had difficulty following them, just because it was what she was doing all her life, so she couldn't understand why she had to promise to do something that she did and never considered breaking. So that's called being a human being, not a devotee. So when we say we chant 16 rounds, that means I'm going to try to be a devotee, and when we say, I'm going to follow the four regulative principles, that says, I'm going to do it as a human being, or at least try to become. But these things are all very difficult for us, especially in a place like downtown London, and that's why we have this oasis, spiritual transcendental oasis, Vrindavan, which is here. And Srila Prabhupada's books and other transcendental literature are meant to encourage us, to give us the spiritual strength and the determination to continue plodding along and to go forward, knowing that there's a param drishta, knowing that there's a higher taste. There's a better place to go. There's a better place to be. And literally speaking, without hearing about Krishna, it's going forward in Krishna consciousness is like sort of walking in a fog. You're not exactly quite sure where it is that you're going and where you're going to go. So for this reason, for instance, Srila Prabhupada took the trouble early on in 1970 to give us Krishna book. He was worried, and rightly so, that he may not be able to finish all of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole first cantos, is to bring devotees to the stage of faith where they can believe that a cowherd boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one's faith is strong enough, then we can hear actually what that cowherd boy's pastimes and activities are, and how his devotees, his eternal associates, serve him, love him, associate with him, chase after him, engage in different pastimes with him. And by hearing about that, ultimately one develops a desire. I'd also like to do that. I'd also like to be there. That's called, well, that initially that desire is some kind of little hankering, but ultimately when it becomes very strong, it's called greed. So tatra loyamoyam ekalam janma koti sukritina labhyate. And Rupa Goswami gives this, he says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati. That Krishna consciousness, this is where Srila Prabhupada got this phrase, Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti rasa bhava. He said that if you want to be Krishna conscious, he says, then tatra loyam oyam ekalam, you have to somehow or another acquire a great greed for it, a desire for it. And janma koti sukriti, but this greed is very difficult to attain. You can't attain it after many, many lifetimes. Janma koti, sukriti of pious activities. Nalabhyate, you still don't get it. So, tatra loyam oyam ekalam. Yeah, but it's the only price that you can pay for becoming a devotee. So how does one acquire it? Generally, one acquires it only in one way, by hearing in the association of devotees, particularly in the association of devotees who already have that type of hankering or greed. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says sarusanga, that the association of Vaishnavas is the most important thing, and Srila Prabhupada had established this Krishna consciousness movement so that the devotees can associate together, talk about Krishna together. Prabhupada specifically wanted us to talk about Krishna. He didn't want for us to simply talk about talking about Krishna, but he wanted to actually talk about Krishna. And with that purpose in mind, he gave us so much wonderful transcendental material for which to do so. And as we are now celebrating in the month of Kartik, and we're entering into the last 6 days of this Kartik Vrata, so devotees sing Damodarashtakam, take advantage of the benefit that's attained by this month. Krishna's giving us real opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness, and many devotees are in Vrindavan doing parikrama of Vrindavan Dham, visiting the places of Krishna's pastimes. Because when they go there, then Srila Prabhupada uses this phrase, that the impression, there's this impression which is made within the heart, and that enables one to remember Krishna. Smaranam. Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu. The whole business is to be able to always remember Krishna. That's the real purpose or the essence of Krishna consciousness. And so parikrama. Parikrama means that one does parikrama step by step. One goes systematically around Vrindavan Dham. Parikrama is also a method of showing respect. We don't practice that so much. We do with Tulsi Devi, for instance. Yani Kani Chappappani. And when we chant that and go around, we're doing parikrama around Tulsi Devi. It's a type of respect that someone may show a person. When Arjuna was about to launch the atom bomb to neutralize Ashwatthama's weapon, then he did two things. One is he touched water, and the other is he circumambulated Krishna. He showed respect to Krishna first. So this process of circumambulation is very traditional, and particularly to circumambulate holy places, not just Vrindavan, but so many holy places, tirthas. This is the particular system. And I'll just talk a little about what that circumambulation that takes place. It's done in Braj. We use the word Vrindavan. Vrindavan is sort of a generic term. Braj actually means the whole 164 square mile area in which the whole spiritual sky is situated on this earth. And that's a very extraordinary concept. It requires actually quite a great degree of faith for devotees to believe that when Lord Chaitanya is talking to Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, he's giving the dimensions of these Vaikuntha planets. Anyway, to one of them. And he describes how huge these planets are. They're like billions and billions and billions of miles in diameter. And not one Vaikuntha planet, all the Vaikuntha planets, along with material creation, everything is situated in that 164 square miles. Anyway, if it can be situated there, it's also situated right here. How that works is inconceivable to us, because our minds work in very three-dimensional, linear ways, and we use this word, things are inconceivable to us. So in 15th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, vyakta avyakta. He says that there's the word for vyakta? Manifest and unmanifest. There's the possible and the impossible. So, and then Krishna says, but the Supreme Lord is beyond the manifest and the unmanifest. There's nothing unmanifest for him. There's nothing impossible for him. These things, that something's conceivable or inconceivable, just defines our own limitations or our own abilities. But nothing's impossible for Krishna. So it's not impossible for Krishna to bring the entire spiritual world into the dimensions of this really, really tiny temple room. It's a very small temple room, and it fits. It fits because everything is already inside of him. Radhalan and Ishwara are not deities. They're Radha and Krishna. And the whole creation is present within Krishna. The spiritual world is present with him. Everything is inside of him. So, and he appears even smaller than this temple room. So yes, everything is present there. And Vaishnavas, in their chanting Hare Krishna, in their devotional activities, they visit the places of Krishna's pastimes. And this parikrama, this circumambulation of particularly Braj, which is that area that includes Vrindavan. Vrindavan is technically one of the 12 forests, main forests of Braj. But sometimes all of Braj is also called Vrindavan. For different reasons, but one reason is because Vrinda, Tulsi Devi, grows everywhere. And there are many Tulsi bushes and Tulsi forests everywhere, not just in Vrindavan forests, but all throughout Braj, so it's also called Vrindavan. Braj is also called Gokula, although actually the place in Mahavan where Krishna is born, that is also called Gokula. So many different names, but the point is that in this Vrindavan, and the Vrindavan that is here, well, we call this Vrindavan in London. The Vrindavan that's in India, that's called Boma Vrindavan. And it's the same Vrindavan that's in Goloka Vrindavan that has some very interesting, unique features that Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That's, that you can read about, very, very wonderful BBT publication. And but more or less, they're the same. All the potency is present. And Srila Prabhupada's vision was that that same Vrindavan that's on earth, that Krishna brought to earth, and Krishna currently maintains. Krishna maintains that Vrindavan personally. Although people are, human beings, are doing a good job of trying to cover it by doing so many things, turning into a tourist place, building golf courses, building bridges across the Jamuna, what to speak of damming up the Jamuna and not even allowing the water to flow, selling alcohol and drugs and having illicit sex and serving meat. And unfortunately, all of this is going on in Krishna's own home. And that's not good because holy places are meant to be protected. They're meant to be very sacred and to be kept sacred. And even if materialistic people go there, then they're meant to leave their bad habits behind, and they go there with great respect and reverence. If they can't do it for the whole month of Kartik, for instance, then you do it at least for just for 3 days. And for 3 days, one behaves oneself. Anyway, but this is Kali Yuga. This is what happens in Kali Yuga. That the most sacred place of Krishna's pastimes is being defiled in many, many ways. Such has been the history of Vrindavan for the last 5,000 years. I went once with one of my acquaintances, my cousin. He's my sort of nearest peer relative. And I took him to Vrindavan, and sort of got off the plane and went to Vrindavan, and we spent a few days there before going on to Mayapur for a few days and Jagannath Puri for a few days. And he's very, very nice. He's very supportive. He's not a devotee, but he's very supportive of Krishna consciousness, and he's a donor to our projects. But, you know, he said laughingly, he said, you know, if when he saw the open sewage in Vrindavan, the trash, the hogs running wild, the lack of coordination, what was very obvious to him is that there were people here who were simply exploiting a holy place for their own personal profit. He said, if this is the center of your religion, if I were you, I'd change religions. I told that when I met, subsequently, I met the Minister of Culture for India. I told him, this is, you know, the impression of someone who produces grade A movies in America, and this is not only his impression, but many people's impression. So what are we doing with our culture? This represents the essence of India's culture, Vrindavan, and look at the condition it's in. Anyway, that's not the subject of this topic, but it's certainly something that I think everyone who's been there, who's been to Vrindavan, anyway, so many devotees, so you've all noticed, Mecca does not look like Vrindavan. Who's been to Mecca? Okay, well, neither have I, but I've seen pictures. Huh? Vatican. So they take care of the seat, the capital of their religion. But that's indicative of something. That's also indicative of how we may also necessarily take care of our hearts, which are also expansions of that Vrindavan, or at least that Vrindavan is supposed to manifest there. So, Bhauma Vrindavan, Krishna has brought the spiritual world to this earth, but he doesn't interfere with humans' free will, and they can defile even Krishna's own home. At least the visible part of his own home. You can't defile Vrindavan, but what's visible to us, that you can. And then Srila Prabhupada explained that our temples, our farming communities, places where the deities are established, and places where Vaishnavas chant Hare Krishna without offense, those are all places where there is Vrindavan. Vrindavan becomes manifest. So Srila Prabhupada envisaged, he called, for instance, New Vrindavan, which was the first sort of rural replica of Vrindavan. He used that word replica, that this is a replica of Bhauma Vrindavan and all of the temples. Srila Prabhupada wrote to Mother Sarvamangala in 1974 at Bhaktivedanta Manor. He said, you should know that all our temples are Vaikuntha, that all our temples are Vrindavan. Why? Because wherever Krishna's there, we say it's Vrindavan. And when we say Vrindavan, then Vrindavan isn't just a phrase, it's not just a word, but it means all of these things. It means all of these wonderful places where Krishna enacts his pastimes, beginning with his pastime of birth, which takes place in Mathura. Today is the disappearance day of Gorkishodas Bhajavji, correct? So I'll just go to Gorkishodas Babaji resided at Radhakund. Not long ago, we celebrated Bahulastami, or the appearance of Sri Radhakund. Radhakund is situated in and on the edge of Bahulavan. And it touches Vrindavan, but it's in Bahulavan. And that's another one of the 12 forests of Braj. Vrindavan forest is the biggest, and it's the one that's most attractive to Krishna for different reasons. Prabhunandana Saraswati Thakur writes this Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which is about Vrindavan forest. And Vrindavan forest is very big. It stretches all the way from Govardhan Hill all the way to the Jamuna, where we go to Krishna Balaram Mandir. That's all Vrindavan, and it's very wide and very long. So it's a very, very beautiful forest, and it was actually a forest even until the beginning of the 19th century. It said that you could walk from where our Krishna Balaram Mandir is now all the way to Govardhan Hill. You could walk under trees. It was all covered. Since then, it's become agricultural land, and there are hardly many trees. But you could walk. Everywhere. In fact, when I first started going around, for instance, Govardhan Hill, it was a much different place than it is now. But all of these places were. The appearance of Radhakund. I'm just speaking about Radhakund because that's where Gorkishwardas Babaji lives there, and his Pushpa Samadhi is also situated there. When devotees do parikrama of Govardhan Hill, they enter Radhakund from a place called Shivakor. It's a lake, and it has different features. One of them is that the cremation ground of Radha Kund is situated on the far end, and this is also where a very, very wonderful pastime that's very instructive for us also took place. It's a pastime that I've never found in any particular book, but it's commonly known and repeated by both locals, acharyas, and so on. And it's a pastime the devotees can recall on Lalita Devi's appearance day, which just precedes Srimati Radharani's appearance day. And that is that there was a she-jackal. And it's a she-jackal for a particular reason. And it's also a jackal for a reason. Everything has a reason in Krishna's pastimes. And the local children, although there are no locals in Radha Kund, because at the time of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, Radha Kund is a very secluded place. There's no village there. There's just Radha Kund is there. So by locals, meaning there must have been others, children who used to come there in that area, because the road that now goes along parallel to Govardhan Hill was even there at that time. And so people used to travel over there. They used to go from there to Surya Kund. Surya Kund was a very holy place at that time. Interestingly, that 5,000 years ago, how deities were all situated outside. Now we have temples, and of course you have temples, and you have temple compounds and people. And at that time, deities were, temples were just in a secluded place, and there weren't even any Brahmins there. If you wanted to worship the deities, you had to bring your Brahmins with you, unless you happened to be a Brahmin, to be able to worship them. And then sometimes the deities weren't even in temples, they were just outside. They were just sitting outside under a tree or something like that, or some type of minimal cover that locals would provide for them. So back to the locals. Anyway, the children were playing over there, and they saw this jackal. And they started to chase the jackal, and they chased the jackal into a hole. She-jackal into a hole. And even then, children sometimes get a little cruel in their play. So they lit a fire. They were going to smoke the creature out and then beat it. Jackals are not necessarily very popular animals. There are not too many of them around London, but you got a lot of foxes everywhere. And they sort of get the same type of treatment by English royalty as the jackals do in India. So the jackal was crying. She was in this hole. Smoke was there on the outside. She was being smoked out, literally speaking. But she couldn't come out because she saw that if she came out, she was going to be beaten. So she was howling. And as it so happened, Srimati Radharani was coming by. Now, generally, Srimati Radharani doesn't come by on this side of Govardhan Hill. She goes on the other side, on the Radha Kund side, and from there goes down towards, because Krishna usually pastures the cows over there to Manasi Ganga. This side really leads when it's, anyway, it's a very roundabout route to get there. But she was, and they do. Because when we read pastimes, we read pastimes in Krishna book, or we read pastimes in Acharya's books, or so many other books, we always sort of place them, well, it took me half hour to read this, and it took a half hour to take place, and that was the pastime of the day. But they got pastimes going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like nonstop. It's eternal. So, for instance, if we were to sit down and just read pastimes nonstop and do nothing else, that's sort of what's going on in Vrindavan. And there's unlimited variety, unlimited scope of these taking place. So along with Lalita and Vishakha and their other girlfriend, Srimati Radharani, was heading from Radhakund and was coming past Shivakur, and she heard the sound. So when she heard the sound, she asked her friends, "What's that?" And they said, "Sounds like some jackal in distress." So Srimati Radharani is very, very soft-hearted. That's the special feature why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he has the Radha Bhava Dyuti, he has the heart of Srimati Radharani. So women are by nature more soft-hearted than men. I mean, Bhagavatam has some other comments to make, but in terms of their emotional nature and their tendency to be driven by their feelings, they're very soft-hearted, and as Prabhupada also says, very devotional. So immediately Srimati Radharani told Lalita, "We'll go find out what's going on." And Lalita Devi, who's Srimati Radharani's best friend, just like Subal is Krishna's best friend, then she went to where all these children, well, you can just picture the scene, all these children are jumping around, and they're cowherd children, so they're very spontaneous, they're very simple. And they're fanning the smoke into the hole in the ground. It's not really a cave, but in the hole in the ground. And the jackal is screaming, and they're all waving sticks and waiting for it to come out. And of course, she goes there and says, "What are you doing?" And she chases them away. She says, "You can't do this. You can't cause distress to other living entities." And then she reaches in and pulls out the jackal, who's extremely frightened because he doesn't know what's next. And then Srimati Radharani takes the jackal to, Lalita Devi takes the jackal to Srimati Radharani. She wanted to know what it was. And then she explained, this jackal is being tortured by the children. So Radharani is very, very compassionate, and she strokes the animal, and ultimately gives it the blessing to become one of her associates. How that happened, whether it was in its next life or some kind of transformation takes place, that we don't know. But the story is very significant in the sense that as in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srimati Radharani calls Gop Kumar and he says, "My devotee, this devotee is there, go find him and bring him back." Very interesting how Srimati Radharani is directing devotees. So same thing, she calls Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is she's the guru. She plays the role of guru. For instance, when Lord Krishna appears along with his associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears with his associates, then who's the leader of all of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I mean, aside from you have Panchatattva, but in terms of devotees, it's Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar is a secretary. No one gets to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through him. And when you see the Guru Parampara, then you'll see Swarup Dharma Goswami's name is there. So he's the authority. Swarup Damodar Goswami happens to be Lalita Devi in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So similarly, Lalita Devi represents in this lila, in this pastime, the guru, spiritual master. How Srimati Radharani hears the cry of the jackal. Jackal is a she-jackal. So the conditioned souls, and why are they she-jackals? Because we're all feminine by nature. Ultimately, Krishna is a purusha, and we're all praktikri. Male body, female body, that's all really a detail. But the real thing is that we're all feminine in that sense. We're all meant for serving Krishna's senses and serving Krishna's will. And we're all crying. Or at least we're supposed to be crying. or if we're not crying, then we need to learn how to cry. Because unless we really learn how to cry for Krishna, ultimately we really can't get this type of benediction where, because the Guru comes, Lalita Devi came and ultimately brought the jackal to Srimati Radharani. But ultimately it required Srimati Radharani to make that transition, that to give the blessing and benediction. All right, you become one of my associates. So in practicing devotional service, we can come to that stage. We practice devotional service by the grace of Guru, by the grace of the Guru Parampara, that we can practice. But ultimately, practice needs to bring us to the stage where we are able to cry for Krishna. Because you cannot attain perfection by practice. You can become purified at heart. One can awaken one real desire for Krishna, but unless... Have you heard a jackal howl? Anyway, I'm not saying that that's what you need to practice at home, but that type of intensity, the way jackals cry, so that type of intense crying, ultimately, in order to attract Krishna's attention, or Srimati Radharani's attention, or Lord Nityananda's attention, unless you get their attention and you get this blessing, and unless they bestow their grace upon us, we cannot actually make this transition from the conditioned stage to the spiritual or transcendental stage of devotional service, and thereby actually become the other associates. So when you come in that part of Radhakundan, when you're doing Govardhan Parikrama, everyone enters into Radhakund, past that Shiva core, and they come to the Pushpa Samadhi of Gaur Kishordas Babaji. Gaur Kishordas Babaji lived in Radhakund, and he left Radhakund. He left Ravarkund for Navadvip, as did Jagannath Das Babaji. And he left because he was very disappointed at actually what was taking place there in the name of Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't necessarily just think that that happens in Radhakund, and Radhakund has a monopoly of Vaishnavas not following the standard conduct that they should, and misbehaving themselves in the name of spiritual life. But that was his place, that was his place of residence. And he left and he went to Mayapur. He went to Sridhar Mayapur, saying that Vrindavan Dham has lost its sanctity due to the offenses committed by pseudo devotees. So it's a lesson that we also need to learn. Who are these pseudo devotees? We could call them sahajas. There are so many different grades of pseudo devotees, but basically they're Vaishnavas who, in the name of spiritual life, they concoct all kinds of illicit activities. Srila Prabhupada, if you go on folio, Prabhupada talks about all kinds of things. He says that so-called Vaishnavas who keep many women and at the same time, you know, they're chanting 64 rounds a day, all in the name of being advanced in Krishna consciousness, and yet they're breaking the principles. Prabhupada talks about homosexuality. There's also a practice, taking of intoxicants. So all of this is going on, but at the same time, people are in the guise or in the dress of Vaishnavas and chanting Hare Krishna, doing so many other things. It's not something that's just taking place in Radhakund or taking place in Vrindavan. It takes place also in ISKCON. I think everyone knows we're not immune from all of these things. Kali Yuga is everywhere. But it's very important for us that we're dependent on the association of and the blessings of great souls like Gaur Kishordas Babaji, for us, Srila Prabhupada. And when these personalities see such type of misbehavior, then they leave. They do leave. Srila Prabhupada said this of his spiritual master, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was, well, you Prabhupada used the word disgusted. Not particularly because of that type of misconduct, but he was disgusted with another thing, is that he found that his disciples weren't really taking to heart the missionary spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and weren't really taking to spreading Krishna consciousness. How could Gaurakishoras Babaji leave Radhakund? Because Radhakund is not a physical place. If it was a physical place, it couldn't be here. But it's not a physical place. Just like Vrindavan is not a physical place. Srila Prabhupada points out, Vrindavan is wherever, well, he says, any devotee who chants Hare Krishna without offense, he manifests Vrindavan. When Vidura arrived at Hastinapur after the war, and Yudhisthira Maharaj greeded him, he said, Bhavad vidha bhagvatas tirtha bhuta svam bibo tirtha bhutani tirthani svanta stena gadavrita. He says, you are a place of pilgrimage because Krishna is present within your heart, and then wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage. I had that experience with Srila Prabhupada. That happened to be in 1975, at the airport in Montreal. We were all sitting there, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting. Prabhupada had come to Montreal to spend some days there, and then he got this telegram that Indira Gandhi was willing to see him. So Prabhupada came in the morning, and by early afternoon he was on the plane out. But when he was waiting for the flight, then Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the departure lounge, and the devotees were just sitting around him, and we went to a kirtan room, we were just sort of chanting japa. Prabhupada was chanting japa, and myself as well as some other devotees, and there are many devotees who had that experience. They could just see that all of a sudden the material world just completely disappeared in Srila Prabhupada's presence. There was no material world. It just happened that for a certain period of time I became conscious or aware of the fact that yes, Srila Prabhupada himself was not in the material world, he was in the spiritual world, but his influence was such that he was actually dissipate the modes of material nature and the influence of the material energy. I'm sure you've heard Srila Prabhupada's disciples give their different experiences, similar experiences, and probably devotees themselves have had similar experiences, perhaps in dreams and so on, of Prabhupada themselves. So Vrindavan is not a geographical place. Vrindavan is a place where Krishna is worshipped purely and Krishna becomes the focus of our existence. And if we conduct our lives like that, then yes, wherever we go actually becomes Vrindavan. A nice example is, for instance, in Sridhar Mayapur. Who's been to Sridhar Mayapur? Okay, where is Radhakund in Mayapur? Sri Chaitanya Mat. Anyone else? No. Actually, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement, or at least the transposition of Vrindavan onto Mayapur, it's in Ritu Dweep. It's very far away. It's near. It's near where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to study. And it's still not actually located just exactly where it is. Usually we point out this is the area where Radhakund is and Shyamakund is. And that's miles away from where you're referring as Radhakund. But that is also Radhakund. And why is that Radhakund? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did his bhajan there, and he had vision of Radhakund there, and that's why Radhakund is also there. So Radhakund is where devotees are absorbed in that consciousness of Radhakund, and therefore Gaur Kishordas Babaji left, and he left, and he stayed in different places in Mayapur. But ultimately, Radhakund becomes present within our hearts by the pure chanting of the holy name, by our connection with Krishna, with Krishna's pastimes. In a little book that describes the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, and also their bodies, the name of which I've just forgotten, and Rupa Chintamani, it's called. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says to the reader, he says, within your heart is a very sacred place, the abode of Vrindavan, that's surrounded on three sides by the Jamuna River and the fourth side by a canal. Within that Vrindavan, at the center of that Vrindavan, is the Yoga Pit, beneath which are situated Radha and Krishna. So he makes the whole meditation, he points out that actually when we say we are Nitya Krishna Das, if we're Krishna Das, if we're eternally Krishna's servants, then Krishna's in our hearts. If Krishna's in our hearts, Vrindavan is in our hearts. So he said, yes, and you should make a practice of meditating upon Vrindavan within your heart. How do we do that type of meditation? That's Srila Prabhupada explains, particularly Upadeshamrita, but in other places. And the meditation takes through the agency of chanting Hare Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, when we hear of Krishna's pastimes, when we hear of Vrindavan, then those things leave, as Prabhupada uses this word, an impression within our minds, within our hearts. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we both become reminded of them. And according to the quality of our chanting, we have the opportunity to either become observers or, in a purified state, participants in those pastimes. So ultimately, this is the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement, and that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavata Shravana, Mathura Vasa, Srimurti, Ashadadhaya Sevana. That if we do these five activities, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with Vaishnavas, worshipping the deity form, and said, living in a holy place. For us, holy place is Vrindavan. Although Srila Prabhupada in his books often talks in a very general way, generic way, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, so many holy places, so many forms of Krishna. When you study Srila Prabhupada's books in context, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preachings, we understand that actually the Krishna conscious movement means that we're all meant to become servants of, just like this prayer. Where's the Dhammadharashtakam prayer? We're meant to become servants of this little cowherd boy, the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we're reading this all the time, every day. It says, to those devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I'm conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. Then he says that, yes, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. Prabhupada talks a lot about the super soul in his books, and our business is to actually understand how to hear the super soul. But super soul is Krishna, and he's telling us how to practice devotional service. But ultimately, the super soul is here in this material world to guide us and to guide us out of this material world. But here's that, I do not want to even know your feature. But that the feature that Vaishnavas ultimately meditate upon is Lord Krishna. He says, yes, I only want to know your form of Bala Krishna and Vrindavan. So our real destination, which we want to awaken, which what it means to be Krishna conscious, we want to awaken our desire to go back home, back to Godhead. We're back to Godhead. We use the word Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is also a big place. And in Goloka Vrindavan, for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there are two preferred places. But there are other places. There's Dwarka. Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not want to go to Dwarka. Neither they want to go to Mathura. These are also present there. They want to go to Braj. And then there's another place, which is Svetadvipa. That is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So either we go to Vrindavan, either we go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is hankering to go to Vrindavan, or you go to both. That's also possible. One can be in both places. So our desire is, and our goal is, go back home, back to Godhead. It's our motto, back home, back to Godhead. We want to go back to Godhead. It's serious business going back to Godhead. It isn't like falling off a log. We have to really make an effort for it. But our effort is really very, very insignificant by comparison to the goal that we are setting. So we have a very, very lofty goal. It's not just a very lofty goal. It's something that's it's beyond the conception of the yogis and the gyanis and the great person. They can't even conceive of this, what to speak of, aspire for it. But even if they can conceive of it, they can't achieve it. You cannot achieve this bhakti, which is called braja bhakti or devotion in the footsteps of the Vrindavan, unless you have the association of a resident of Vrindavan. In other words, unless you have the blessings of Vaishnavas coming in line from Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, that type of devotion will not awaken within one's heart. So we want to have that desire. And why is this greed important to have? Because what is greed? Greed is when someone wants something that he actually doesn't deserve. So we don't have the qualification for this, neither do we deserve it. Still, you should want it. And if you, just like a child, so a child wants so many things, often, that it doesn't really deserve. But if it cries loud enough, then it gets it. So that's really what Krishna consciousness is ultimately about. We don't necessarily deserve Krishna consciousness. We don't realize how difficult and how rare a thing it is to actually attain love of God. And we talk about it very freely. But you notice in... Actually, Srila Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Shiva is making this statement about not only love of Godhead, but actually the content of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Shiva understands Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vyasadeva, he may understand, but he may not understand. In other words, Vyasadeva, who's the author of Bhagavatam, he's saying that Lord Shiva is saying that he's not necessarily fully in grasp of actually what it means, what the text and the message that he's actually giving, what the real import of that is. So this love of Godhead is a very, very rare thing. It's very difficult to achieve. Devotees who've gone to Vrindavan, they see Gopeshwar Mahadev. So it's Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva wanted to come and enter into the rasa dance. That's as far as he got. He just got to the gate, and they said, yeah, you stay out there, and you just guard, and make sure no unqualified people come in. That also included himself. In other words, he couldn't come in. He had to stay outside. Because Lakshmi Devi also performed austerities for many, many lifetimes, many creations, not lifetimes, but long, long, long time. There's that part of, in Srivan, in Vrindavan, Sri means Lakshmi, Then she also performed austerities there. She wanted to become a gopi. Finally, Krishna appeared. He said, "What would you like?" He says, "I want to become gopi." She said, "That's not possible for you." He said, "Why?" "Because you have to stop becoming the goddess of fortune." She wanted to be the goddess of fortune and become a gopi. He says, "You can't do that. You have to give up your conception of being the goddess of fortune if you want to become a gopi." So she's still there doing austerities. So if by austerities the goddess of fortune and Lord Shiva have so difficulty in accessing it, we can see that for us it's also a very great achievement that you only get if you actually get intercession. If we get intercession on our behalf, someone intercedes on our behalf. As Lalita Devi brought the jackal, so when she intercedes on our behalf, there's also Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Rupa Goswami writes, Yam kamapi vrajakule vrishabhanujaya, and writes about Lalita Devi that her sort of dharma is going around Vrindavan and looking for people who are actually want the association of Krishna, want the association of Srimati Radharani, and she intercedes on their behalf. So that's what our Guru Parampara means, that they intercede on our behalf. And Srila Prabhupada would very often say that if you can get the attention of Srimati Radharani, if she intercedes on your behalf and tells Krishna, please accept them, then Krishna has to accept that person. Similarly, if we get the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we get the grace of Lord Chaitanya's associates, like Srila Prabhupada, and they intercede on our behalf, then something that's very, very rare, that's very, very difficult, but we read about all the time, one can actually achieve, provided that we really want it. And one has to really want that thing. Anyway, I guess that's as far as we got on parikrama today. I don't want to take too much time. We have also Aarti coming and so on. But anyway, thank you. And that was the purpose also of this book, Navaraja Mahiba, because Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to write. So that those pastimes that Krishna enacts within Goloka Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, New Vrindavan, New Rajadam, Radhalan Rishwar's abode within our hearts, if we hear about them enough, if we develop aspiration for them, then ultimately, by the grace of Krishna and associates, we can actually enter into those pastimes. But you really have to want it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So everyone can come back off parikram now. I'd like to thank His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj for coming here and transporting us all in the guise of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's disappearance day. I was thinking, where are we going with this? And then Radhika and then the chakal and the deities. So it's really amazing. We've been to Navadweep, been to Vrindavan, Radhakund, all with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And Marge mentioned how when Vidura returned to Hastinapur, and Yudhisthira Marge was saying that you are verily a place of pilgrimage yourself. Wherever you go, you take Vrindavan. And His Holiness Shivaram Marge is also an amazing soul like this for 25 years. After so many difficulties here in the UK, Maharaj was serving as the GBC and really brought the UK Yatra, or sustained the UK Yatra in a way that it hadn't had. And for so many years, after so many difficulties, he performed that that yajna and that sacrifice and really gave a foundation for all of us. Actually, in many ways, if it wasn't for Maharaj taking up that very difficult service and being here, probably many of us wouldn't be here. So he's what Devamrita Maharaj termed the phrase, a devotee of substance, an exceptional devotee of substance. And for the last 6 years, Maharaj has poured his love and devotion for Radhasham Sundar into this book, New Braj Mahima. And yeah, there's so many things. Actually, I'm not sure if Maharaj remembers, but I was with Kesha Bharati Maharaj in Delhi when Kesha Bharati Maharaj was having some issues with his health, his back. And I remember the two Maharajas would speak, and this, I think at that time, this idea was culminating, and it was supposed to start out as a little booklet, just as a little pamphlet that you could take around on Parikram and New Braj Dham. And it was, you know, they were discussing, and then as the conversations went on over months, the book started to expand, and Kesha Bharati Maharaj used to extol the glories of Shivaram Maharaj and talk about what an amazing soul he was and how deep he was going. And then, of course, over the last 6 years, they went exceptionally deep into this book. And now Maharaj has come here, and he's offering all of us the opportunity to also take this parikram and expand our hearts and our minds, and to understand what is the sadhya, what is the goal of our practice and our sadhana, which is to be with Krishna and to go to where Krishna resides and to open a window, a door into those pastimes. So Maharaj has brought these books. We have numbers of books here. Varshana Mataji is here at the back. The devotees are outside. The first four volumes, I think it is, are available here tonight. You can see here they're immaculately packaged. How many people here have been to Budapest, to Hungary, to New Braj Dham? Okay. Actually, just as a side point, for all of you, I'd like to invite you on Sunday. A few of the devotees here have prepared a film called Spiritual Embassies, where they're going to show New Braj Dham, which is definitely a Dham. You go there and you feel you've entered into the Dham. Maharaj has absolutely manifested the Dham there in New Braj Dham. Srila Prabhupada instructed to establish places of pilgrimage and places of holy places of pilgrimage, and Maharaj has done that. So, and New Braj Dham is actually, if you ever go there and visit, you see that Maharaj's perfection permeates his high level of Krishna consciousness. It permeates everything. And when you look at these books, you can see Maharaj's his bhakti. It just permeates every page, the covers, the art, the paper, probably even down the ink, the machine that printed the books. Everything. Maharaj was personally present and wanting it to be perfect, a clear expression of his love for Radhasham Sundar, for Radha and Krishna, and for the devotees. Actually, writing, I don't know if anyone here is a writer, but writing is not a simple or easy thing. I think Maharaj used the term, it's not like falling off a log. It's something that takes a lot of time and energy and effort. It's an immense sacrifice, and Maharaj has made this sacrifice actually for all of us. He's made that sacrifice in the same way that Srila Prabhupada made the sacrifice, so that it's here. His journey, his experience, his revelation is here for all of us to see. We speak about acharyas from so many years gone, but here we see, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, there are acharyas who are experiencing and relishing Vrindavan and the chanting of the holy name, and they're offering and giving that gift also to us. So I would like to encourage everyone here to Please take this opportunity to have a set of these wonderful books in your library. From what I understand, there's only a few that are here because many of them have already been ordered, taken by many other devotees. So in the UK, there are a limited number. And also, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only printing. Is that correct, Marge? This is,
well, certainly for a good while.
Yeah. So this is an opportunity for everyone to have this so you can speak to Mother Varshana and the devotees outside. And please take this opportunity to take your set. I think the next five sets will be here within a few months, I guess, six months.
Volumes.
Sorry, five volumes, yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, please take this opportunity. And also, Marge will be here for some time so that if you have a set, then he's happy to also sign the set. And this is something that you can pass down through generations. I heard someone recently, they were purchasing a set for themselves, and they also purchased a set for their kind of newborn child so that when their child grows up, they've already got the set. It's already there. So you know, they're really thinking ahead. So it's like an heirloom, something that you would pass on, you know, for generations, like Srila Prabhupada's books. So like that. Hare Krishna. So I think Krishnamayi, did you would like to share a few words?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. My name is Krishnamayi Devadasi, a little bit English. I live in the New Vrajadam since the beginning. I see 20 years Shivaram Swami Maharaj put his life into New Vrajadam. This book is our life, this book full of Krishna consciousness. If you read this book, you live as a servant of the bridge buses, head to toe. And you are very, very lucky. Why? I think she can, you write, you can write,
read
this book now, but I have to wait 2 years Hungarian translation. Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki jai. Okay.
That's why the Hungarian devotees have this problem, is that the book was written for them, but they can't read it yet. Everyone else is reading it.
She is Shyamari, he is Shyamari Prabhu. He and he is servant of Shivaram Swami Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, yes. I'm servant of Shivaram Swami, head to toe. Guru Maharaj started to... I'm servant of him since 2007, and he started to write this book April of 2007. And as mentioned, Chaitanya Prabhu, the book began like a booklet, almost 100 pages, but Guru Maharaj, I think everybody knows Guru Maharaj, if someone knows a little bit, what is his mood? Like, he never can think small, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he all the time, that's why the book, you know, year by year, you know, increased. And he all the time think like big, all the time telling me when I'm going out to book distribution, think big. Yeah. And the book distributors knows what does it means. So much effort. And also he put so much effort in these books. because when I, you know, day by day, the first 3 years, he spent so much time in the morning for writing, and the daily times he had meetings and different kind of phone calls, and the night time also he written. But the last 2 years, he almost stepped out from the management in Hungary because he tried to focus to writing to this book for the pleasure for the devotees, because this book is his main book, because everything what he is in this book, like Jainita Prabhu said, you know, his heart. And I living with him long time ago, not long time, 5 years, but he's really devotional personality to Srila Prabhupada, and he liked to serve the devotees, and this is one thing how he wants to serve the devotees. He wants to give Krishna consciousness, and everybody goes here to be Krishna consciousness, right? Yeah. And very important to be Krishna consciousness, because the life is short and we have to use every moment to thinking of Krishna and serving the Vaishnavas. And these books helping for us to do this properly and eternally. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj also mentioned, because he edited this book one time for me. This book is a huge donation for, you know, the Society of the Devotees. And, you know, I think so many devotees have been on the street and distributed books, or who wasn't there, but everybody can imagine if somebody get £100 on the street, how do you feel? Yeah, right. And this is more than £100 what we get, because no price of these books. And eternal, and we can be happy. You know, we have this feeling all the time when we read these books. It's so easy to understand, and giving so much pleasure. And we can think on Krishna. Srila Shivara Maharaj ki jai. Navaraja Maharaj ki jai. Please take a book with you, and enjoy.
I just want a closing word here, because somehow or another this focus is switched from Krishna to Shivaram Swami, and that's not what the book's about, just by the way. It's about Krishna. And these kind of things seem a little exaggerated, or much exaggerated. But yes, the books, they're about Krishna. If everyone gets the idea they're about me, no one's going to want to get them. Anyway, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Salini Shiva Maharaj ki jai. So if you'd like, you can go out here. Those who have pre-ordered their books, then you can collect them outside. Or possibly down on reception, and anyone who would like to take some copies with you, then you can come, and now's the time to get the opportunity to have Maharaj sign the books like that. So we'd like to thank everyone for coming, and I would like to request everyone to please let's offer our gratitude and appreciation to Maharaj for coming and taking our consciousness back to the holy land of Vrindavan, to Braj. So please let us express our gratitude by chanting very loudly three Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Nibraj Mahima ki, Srila Maharaj ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Hey!